glad you're here tonight. Let's stand together. We'll have a word of prayer, and Brother Chair will come, and we'll sing our first song tonight, Stand Up for Jesus. And you know the old saying, you can't stand up for Jesus if you're sitting down. Amen. So we'll sing that tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your provisions. Thank you for the blessings of the day. And I pray the word of God would continue to speak to the hearts of your people. And Lord, I pray, Lord, you know my heart, and I know there's a couple that I'd like to see to come to the Savior, Lord. And I just pray that you continue to work in their heart and lives. Help me to not to be too pushy, to keep a balance, but to continue to let them know my love and concern for them and their need for Christ. Now, Father, meet with us tonight. May you be uplifted and glorified in Jesus' name. Amen.
Heavenly Father, how grateful we are and how happy we are to be here in your house and among your people. Now, Father, as we give back a very small amount of what you have blessed us with, help us to remember, Lord, that we can never repay, no matter how much we give or what we do, the blessing and the salvation that you have given us. So, Lord, let us give joyfully, gladly, willingly, and just we thank you for it, Lord, for everything. Amen.
Wonderful to serve a God who's always the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. All right, trust you if you have a handout tonight, and if you've noticed, you've got a full page folded nice and fancy tonight, and Brother Cena gets after me sometimes. Preacher, use the good stuff. Use the good thick paper. Don't be afraid to use more than one page. So you have it tonight. wasn't sure if I was going to put a fancy heading on the front with just a title, then open it up and everything be on the inside and the other. But you got what you got. Let's see what we get. As my daughter would say to her kids, you get what you get and don't throw a fit. I don't know how many times I've heard her say that to my granddaughters. Right, we're going to look at several places in Scripture tonight, but we'll start in Psalm 51. Psalm 51, we'll begin reading in verse 3 in just a moment. Psalm 51 in verse 3. It is 5:22. We're a little bit ahead of schedule. We've got to take just a moment. May God a blessing. Anybody want to share a testimony? God's been so good. Can't stand it. Jumping up and down. Got to tell somebody about how God good has been. Yes, Miss Tammy. Is it a good one? I should be praying for this family and praise the Lord. They won't have to worry about a place to stay while they're there as well. Anyone else have a blessing? I want to share Michelle. She's torn. She wants to be better, but she wants to hurt enough when she goes to the doctor so he can see and understand what's going on. Brother Rob, it was a wonderful day. It really was. Even an event we had, I mean, of course, funerals, you know, but as a believer, we look at things different. But I thought a wonderful day and very gracious family. Well, I had to poke you a little bit. Yes. Amen. Amen. Anyone else with a blessing? Yes, Brother John. You're just a glutton for punishment. You're just thankful to have me back. You're a glutton for punishment. Yeah, that's a good half blessing. Anyone else before we go, before we read our text tonight? All right, Psalm 51. Psalm 51, we'll read verses 3 through 5. Here we have the psalm here of David, and as he prays for forgiveness after his visit from Nathan, the prophet that came by and let David know that thou art the man, and him being of sin, and with his sin with Bathsheba. And David writes after he's confronted, Psalm 51, verse 3 through 5. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Father, bless the reading of your word and our time together tonight as we continue our study of what you really believe. As we look at sin tonight, pray that you help me, give me clarity of thought, mind, and speech. Pray that you bless our time together as we're reminded of some things and maybe some things that we might learn. But most importantly, that we grasp some things that will help us in our walk. Lord, we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. No one could read the Bible without realizing that a great deal of attention as we read the word of God is given to the subject of sin, its cause, and its cure. You see it throughout the Bible, sin, its cause, and its cure. And I am so grateful that we have a cure for sin, amen? I'm so glad and thankful for the Lord Jesus. We often think of sin in connection with crime and murder. Of course, we don't think of a sin being the speeding or parking illegally or anything like that, but I don't want to meddle, so I'll move on. Sin in the Bible refers to anything short of God's perfection. Anything short of God's perfection. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The glory of God includes the thought of absolute perfection. And that's so often when I try to deal with someone and talk to them, because you can't lead someone to Christ unless first they can recognize they're a sinner. And if they can't see themselves as a sinner or having sin, then there's no way you're going to be able to get them to the cross and to bend, bow a head and to bend a knee. And when we look at that aspect of the glory of God, sin is falling short of the mark. All men and women are guilty of this. In fact, sin is the first issue in every person. Excuse me, the first issue every person must deal with. A number one thing that we have to deal with, not just at salvation, but even after. We want to keep short accounts and the right and good relationship with the Lord. If we are going to deal with sin correctly, then we have to understand what it is, how it came into this world, and what must be done to remedy the situation. Number one tonight, defining sin. Defining sin. Here in our text in Psalm 51 and verse 3, David says, for I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Without a doubt, if David says his sin is ever before me, surely we can recognize and see that sin is before us as well. So a question to kind of go along with what we're going to look at tonight. Can you explain what you think might be the difference between sins and transgressions? Yes, sin is sin. There's a very fine line between the two, but there are some differences. The word sin is talking about personal offense against God or a personal offense against someone else, but we're talking about God tonight and about theology and about sin. So it is a personal offense against God. And so there is kind of a fine line because you think about it. Anytime we offend, anytime we go against the Word of God, it's a sin against His Word. It's a sin against God. Transgression means revolt or rebellion against God, but a little more pointed. Intentional revolt or rebellion against God. So as we ask another question in reference to this passage, so why is that distinction important as we consider the person of King David? Without a doubt, David points out both. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. I can't emphasize, and it seems like it's come up a lot in the teaching lately, it's good for me as well, is we need to make sure that we keep good accounts. Us men like to joke, and I'm sure you ladies have heard this before, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. So what about with the Lord? Don't we more so even want to keep our Lord happy? Even we most so want to keep a right relationship with Him, and because we want peace with our Lord, we want a clear conscience with our Lord. Letter A tonight, in reference to the aspect of defining sin, it's breaking God's law. Simply put, it's breaking God's law. Romans chapter 5 and verse 13, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. And I'm going to move through some of these quickly. We can have some time for discussion another time or just make some notes for further study. Letter B, not only is it breaking God's law, but sin, it's rebelling or rebellion against God. Rebellion against God. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4, we studied this several weeks ago. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. So this is more than just an offense. This is lawlessness, as we see here. It's more than a defilement. It's defiance when we look at the aspect of rebellion against God. It's easy sometimes as a teenager to be called a rebellious teen. It's easy to say something to your child when they're in those teen years. They're just being rebellious. But we also need to remind ourselves about, are we rebelling against God? When we refuse to follow His Word, to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, to follow the teaching of God's Word. Letter C, it's not only breaking God's law, rebelling against God, it's moral impurity. Sin is moral impurity. Psalm 32 and verse 5, we see David here again, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest iniquity of my sin. Selah. The word iniquity comes from the Hebrew word avon, and it means moral evil and perversity. It's the connotation to continue in sin without any repentance. And then we see in other words, sin left to itself will take you a whole lot further than you ever intended. And there's the old Southern Gospel song about sin taking you farther than you want to go, and it will. I mean, how many times have we read a testimony or heard a testimony of someone who mentioned how they had gotten away from the Lord, and looking back, they'd wonder, man, if I'd have just made things right when I knew it. If I'd have just made the decision not to transgress, if I'd made the decision I'm not going to be involved in iniquity, I'm not going to run down that road, but I'm going to get things right and stay on track. But needless to say, praise the Lord, it does happen, and we do get back on track. We don't need to allow Satan to discourage us from the time that has went by or the time that we did. But right now, I am right with the Lord as I move forward to serve Him. Letter D, it's breaking God's law. It's rebelling against God. It's moral impurity. It's evil thoughts and deeds. Evil thoughts and deeds. Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 28. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her committeth adultery with her already in his heart. Is adultery wrong? Well, simple answer is it sin? It's right here in the Word of God, so of course it is. But remember that sinful thoughts lead to evil deeds. In other words, if we dwell on something long enough, we will find ourselves doing it. I hate to say this, I'm not going to call his name, and often it bothered me when I was in Bible college, and we had an evangelist that came through every single year, and it was a popular thing to do in the 90s, well, in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, and he did a lot of teaching about music, and particularly the evils of rock music and other things, and did a lot of research, and in his research, it found him doing a lot of things, going to some places that I thought, why? But anyway, long story short, some years down the road, he had fallen into sin. And he blames that because of his continually research and being involved in that culture, in that aspect, that he found himself falling into it as well. We need to be careful and realize that Satan is very good at what he does, and our thoughts and our deeds, the things that we're involved with, people that we run with, things, people that we hang out with. Matthew 5:28 again. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her committeth adultery already in their heart. Let's make sure that sinful thoughts, remember that sinful thoughts lead to evil deeds, so it's best to refrain. Can we control what we think? No. Does sometimes our mind wonder? Sometimes yes, but let's be careful what we're feeding ourselves, feeding the flesh, what we're taking, what we're watching, what we're listening to. You know, my dad used to say when I was a boy growing up, if I acted out of character, he didn't call me by my name. He called me boy. He said, boy, who you been hanging out with? Because you know better than that. And again, it's the reflection of those that we run with. Number two, not only the definition of sin, but sin's origin. So our question for this section, how would you explain where sin came from? You know, I've never had anyone ask me when dealing with them about the Lord, dealing with them about sin, well, where did sin come from? Of course, it's in the Bible, and let's look here at letter A, its origin in all places was in heaven. Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 12, 13, and 14. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Dear friends, if the former archangel, if this angel who'd fallen, who we know is Lucifer today, can be there with our Lord and be there in that atmosphere and still fall, you don't think we need to be careful? We need to be on guard. We don't need to be in fear. We just need to realize the truth and the reality of it. See, this is the first record of a recorded instance of sin, and it took place in heaven in the very throne room of God. Lucifer was no longer content to be the archangel with responsibility to guard the throne. Instead, he became ambitious to become equal with God. We need to make sure that we're not too proud or too haughty in realizing that if it not weren't for the grace of God, where would I be? If it weren't for the goodness of the Lord, where would I be? I'm so grateful that as a boy growing up, and I know some of you heard this before, I'm glad that I had the right kind of drug problem, because I was drugged to church every Sunday, every Wednesday, every revival, every missions conference. I was there. Then after a while, the Lord just got a hold of my heart. And I didn't have to be drugged. I was saying, hey, I'm going to church early. Since I had a car, I was gone because I wanted to go and be with some other like-minded Christian believers that were my age. Letter B, not only is it its origin is in heaven, but its origin, we'll talk about its origin on earth. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. This event took place in the Garden of Eden, as recorded, and we'll turn to Genesis 3 a little bit later, as recorded in Genesis 3, but God forbade Adam and Eve from eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In a willful, it's important, a willful decision, they chose to disobey, and the human race was plunged into sin. Michelle swears up and down that could not have, first of all, we don't know that it was an apple, okay? We say that, we don't know that. But Michelle believes no matter what it was, it had to be covered in chocolate. You know, there's whatever it is that tempts us. Needless to say, it was there. It began on earth. Letter three, its origin is earth for us here because of their sin in Romans 5:12 and Genesis 3. Number three, the results of sin. Well, here's what we don't think about. Who in their right mind thinks about the results of sin before they commit it and still do it? It's just the problem is we don't always think about the consequences of sin and what could take place. Genesis chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Dear friends, we can't play hide and go seek with God and win. And just like Adam and Eve could not do it, we cannot today. We cannot pretend or does not think that God does not know what we're doing. Question for this section. What are some of the things that resulted from Adam and Eve's sin consciousness that came from their disobedience? Romans chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. For by if one man's offense, death reigned by one, much more they were received abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Every person ever born into the human race is a threefold sinner. By birth, by choice, and by practice. Let me put it another way. When I say by birth, nature. By choice, free will or the will. By practice, deeds. Even from a young child, the child knows if I cry hard enough, long enough, and loud enough, somebody will pick me up. And some of us fellas, we still do that even as men, don't we? And all the ladies said, thank you for the one. Thank you, ladies, for leaving Michelle hanging. But we must realize and understand there's more to it. Adam's sin brought a curse upon all of mankind. Letter B, it resulted in Adam's curse. Not only do we see it resulted in the sin nature, but it resulted in Adam's curse. Genesis 3, verse 17 through 19. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and to dust shalt thou return. See, Adam's sin brought a curse upon all of mankind. But there was more to it than that, because Adam's sin affected the whole of creation. Folks, we can blame Adam, we can blame Eve, but the bottom line is, I'm so glad, no matter who we blame, I'm so glad God made a way. I'm so glad that He intervened and that He made a way, painted a beautiful picture there as He killed the animal without the shedding of blood. There is no remission of sins and clothed them. Romans chapter 8 and verse 22 and verse 23. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. I am so grateful, though, this sin and Adam's curse and what we go through today. I tell you what, sure does make life interesting. Punching the 40-hour work week and being involved in other things, the temptations. Yeah, it would be a whole lot different living in the Garden of Eden, but I am so glad that God knew, God prepared, God made a way. And even today, though things may be thorns and thistles, maybe some disruptions, I'm so glad that I know, that I know, that I know that I'm on my way to heaven, that there has been a sacrifice for me, and God even began painting that picture here in the Garden of Eden. Number four, the penalty of sin. The penalty of sin. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I want us to continue to pray. As I had a nice conversation today with a young man, he recognized and realized what sin was. He realized and saw that he was a sinner. He's seen from the Word of God, yes, the Bible says, my only way to Christ, my only way to heaven is through the Lord Jesus Christ, but he just wasn't ready to pray. We need to pray. Continue the Lord to work in his heart, and the Lord continue to work in his heart. I pray that I can be friendly, jovial, and still be a friend to him. Don't want to treat him any different in any way, but he needs the Lord. He needs to make a decision. I pray that he made one later that day, later during the service. I don't know, but the bottom line is, there is a penalty of sin. I started our conversation simply by saying, first of all, when you call someone to your office, the first thing they think, oh boy, I'm in trouble. But I said right away, you're not in trouble, and I asked you to come back here because I love you, care about you. I know you've only been here a few short weeks, but I care about you. A whole lot of other people care about you, and I love you enough to pull you aside because I want to show you something from the Bible. And I told him about the Lord, and I asked him, would you like me to take the Bible and show you what I just said? Yes, sir, I would like that. And we sat down, and several moments later, after listening, he just still wasn't ready. But dear friends, here's the importance when dealing with someone. They need to realize and see and understand there is a penalty of sin. None of us have any guarantees whatsoever of tomorrow. None of us do. So my question for this section, what do you think is included in the meaning of the word death? The Bible tells the book of Revelation, death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. Letter A, it brought physical death. When we see the sin there that happened there in Genesis 3, it brought physical death. Letter B, it brought spiritual death as well. Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 and 7. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day thou shalt eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. Immediately Adam and Eve began to die physically as soon as they partook of the fruit. And we know the serpent beguiled them. He lied to them, told them that you couldn't even touch it. So if he could get them to think you'll die if you just touch it, and they have it in their hand, right away that creates doubt. I'm not dead, and I'm holding it. That's not what God said. God said not to eat of it. They were to dress it. They were to take care of it. They were to care, but he said, you are not to partake of it. Immediately, Adam and Eve began to die physically, and they did die spiritually. Had it not been for the grace of God, they would have remained dead in their sins and separated from God. I am so glad the Lord, our God, loves us enough not to leave us separated from Him. Genesis chapter 3, verses 21 through 24. Unto Adam also and his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat there and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence it was taken. So he drove them out the man, and he placed at the east end of the garden of Eden cherubims and the flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Defining sin, sin's origin, the result of sin, the penalty of sin. And dear friends, I need to go on, but I just want to say this. In consequences of the penalty of sin, there's still a penalty of sin once we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. We escape hell's flames, we escape hell, but there's still consequences to the choices we make, the things that we say, the things that we do. That's why it's so important, as we talked about relationships this morning, is keeping short accounts with our sin and with our transgression. Lord, forgive me. Lord, help me to overcome this struggle that I have. Because we don't, those sins and transgressions turns to iniquity, and before long we find ourselves separated from God and going our way, and the Lord has to deal with us in another way. Number five and final tonight, the remedy for sin. The remedy for sin. We'll turn over to Genesis chapter 3. I don't think I put that in the notes tonight. I missed that somehow because I would have had room. But Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 15. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Our question for this little section before we close: why did God have to take the initiative to provide for man's salvation? Boy, aren't you glad that God didn't leave us on our own, that He provided and made a way. Letter A, it requires an admission. An admission. Adam and Eve had to be willing to admit that their sin had brought separation between them and God. I'm honest. I have to be perfectly honest with you. When I'm dealing with someone and I'm talking with them about the Lord, I was so sure today this young man was going to bow his head and pray. I was so sure. I was excited. I was all excited on the inside. Couldn't wait to get to the end for he would be ready to pray. Because that first step is realizing that you are a sinner and that it does separate you from God, but yet we didn't make it. I think that is the second time in my life that I remember is trying to lead people to Christ, where someone realized everything the Lord had done, recognized they were a sinner, recognized it had separated for them from God, but still wasn't ready to pray. I think the second time in my ministry. It still grieves me, but I praise the Lord the other one did eventually come to the Lord. But it requires admission, and we have to be willing to admit the same. We need to realize even today, we need to keep short account. Yes, Lord, I have sinned. David cried out at the beginning of our text, "Lord, I have sinned, my transgressions, my iniquity," cried out unto the Lord for forgiveness of his sins. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 22, it does require admission. But the Scripture hath concluded, all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. It requires it. You can't get saved until you realize you're lost. You can't lead someone to Christ and get them to the foot of the cross until they realize their sin and how it separates them from God. And there is a remedy for the consequences of sin. Letter B, it requires an acceptance. An acceptance. Adam and Eve had willingly accepted God's judgment of their sin and its consequences. They realized what they had done. They hid in the garden, but when the Lord found them and spoke to them, they took care of business. Then they had to accept His provision. They accepted what God had done for them. And the same thing is true for people today. Without the shedding of blood, as I mentioned, there is no remission of sins. And Adam and Eve received the clothing that was provided through the shedding of blood to clothe them. And we today are clothed in His righteousness because we have looked to Christ for our salvation. But until we get there, the only way we get there is realizing the consequences of sin and realizing and seeing the remedy of sin and embracing it. Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." And I always stop there when I deal with someone. The wages of sin is death, and I stop right there. I said there's that conjunction there, the word but. So I like to stop just for a moment before we go past the but. For the wages of sin is death. Wages meaning, you know, like our paycheck, wages, or the penalty of sin is death. So here we are. You've recognized sin. You know that you're a sinner. You acknowledge that sin separates you from God. So the penalty of your sin is death. And then I'll jump over to the book of Revelations, where it talks about in death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. And once they realize and acknowledge, well, the Bible says, and I always tell them, I'm not asking you to agree with me. I'm only asking you to agree with what the Bible says. And yes, they acknowledge this is what the Bible says. And sometimes because they won't admit, well, it's not only what the Bible says, I believe it. If they can't get there, it's hard to get to the next part. But that conjunction says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that's where I asked them, I said, okay, the penalty of your sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. If you haven't figured it out by now, I chose the gift of God. I chose eternal life. What will you choose? Do you have any questions that I could answer from the Scripture? I always point everything back to the Bible, everything back what the Bible says, not what I say, not what Douglas says, not what the pastor says, but what the Bible has to say. Dear friends, there is a consequence, there is a penalty of sin, but there is also a remedy for sin. I think it's so important that we know and that we're equipped in our Bible, that we can begin in John chapter 3 and verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life." And we know from there that we need to go to Romans 3:23, to Romans 5:8, to Romans 6:23, to Romans 10 and 9 and 10:13, to take someone's road, to teach someone and show them from the Bible, always emphasizing the Bible says. Because when I talk to people and I hear from them, and the word, the phrase, when I ask them if you know that you would go to heaven, "Well, I've been baptized." Okay, that tells me a little something what they think and where I begin and where I need to go. It's important for us to know those things and how to answer. If we cannot come up with an answer, there's nothing wrong with saying, "You know, that's a good question. I don't have the answer, but I know who does, or I know where I can find it. Can we talk again at another time?" Or to hand them off if you can. Dear friends, let's be praying. Let's be praying that God will continue to remind us about sin, its consequence, and His remedy, that it's ever before us, that we keep short accounts, but that also that we can clearly explain and share with someone else when they come to the point and realize in their life, "Yes, I'm a sinner." My pastor, Brother Walls, wrote a book some years ago about everything that I know about the ministry. It's about 9 inches thick. In the front it says, "Written by Garvin Walls. Introduction by Garvin Walls." And every page through the rest of the book is empty. It's just a book frame. But there's another book that he produced, and it's stories about soul winning, stories about leading people to Christ. And he had the opportunity, I had a chance to read that book, and there's some other men that have written things similar to that that I've also read. And as I read that book and talked to my pastor, I had an opportunity at times being on the mission field for a good portion of the time that I knew Brother Walls. Every time we'd come back from a furlough, we'd always spend time, we'd go to lunch together, we'd talk on the phone, he'd call us on the mission field. Since I've been here, even he still calls me. We just talked about 10 days ago, and I appreciate him and his concern for me. He still considers me one of his preachers, and I'm 62 years old come November. I appreciate that. But I remember reading one of the stories, and believe it or not, the gentleman's name is Bob Barker. Not the one you're thinking about, but a different Bob Barker. I'll share that story, and we'll be done tonight. Bob Barker lived in a rough side of town in West Virginia. He lived in a mobile home park, and we used to call them down south trailer parks. But we're more dignified today. We call them mobile home parks. And as you walked up on his deck, and he just kind of described this in his book, when you walked up on the deck, is one of those houses where the washer and dryer was on the front porch, where the gray water was filtered out of the washing machine down to the ground and out the back down to the backyard. We might would call them a redneck growing up. Boy. And as he knocked on the door, he heard a voice, "It's open!" And he went in, and Mr. Barker was sitting there on his living room couch smoking marijuana. Brother Walls took some time and visited with him. He says, "I was grateful that he was just getting started because he obviously wasn't high." But he politely told him who he was. He apologized and put out his, what they would used to call his doobie, put it aside, and said, "What can I do for you, preacher?" He grew up in a part of town that still had respect for pastors and preachers, though he didn't attend church. Had a few kids running around the house, some of them little, some of them in diapers, others a little bit older. His wife wasn't home. And he sat down, "Well, could I sit down and spend the spell, have a little time with you today?" Brother Barker said, "Sit down, preacher." And they talked. And I don't know if it's 30 minutes, 45 minutes later, Pastor Wallace led Brother Barker to the Lord. Brother Barker came to church looking real rough. He had real long hair and looked like he hadn't changed the oil in his hair for weeks. Looked really rough. Came to church for several weeks. And then one day he came to church and he had a suit that was about two sizes too long and a tie all tied up that was about this long. And Brother Wallace said, "Boy, you sure look good today, Brother Barker. Where'd you get the suit?" Said, "Well, I looked around. A lot of folks are all dressed up. And I decided, he also got his hair cut and washed his hair. I decided, you know, this is God's house. Other people dress up. I can clean up a little bit." So he went down to the store, wherever it was, and he got him a suit. It wasn't long after that that he began coming and things. He didn't always wear that suit. He began to wear just slacks and a pullover, but he looked presentable. And he had always wanted to sit toward the front where he can get all that he could get. Several weeks went by and months went by, and he pulled Preacher aside and said, "Preacher, I think it's time that I do the right thing. I can't set example for my kids if I'm not obedient. I need to be baptized." And Bob followed the Lord in believer's baptism. It was just growing in the Lord. Several months again later went by. Now we're almost a year in. And he went by, "Brother Walls, I'd like to talk to you. I'm going to put my house up for sale. Got some things I need to take care of." And he sat down and said, "Good, we'll have lunch this week." And he told the preacher, "God called me to preach. I'm going to Bible college." Brother Walls thought, "Man, I never saw this coming." He went off to Bible college. He graduated. Started a church in West Virginia. Had the privilege of preaching there and being there some several years ago. Brother Balker started the church and pastored the church for several years. His testimony was so great. As just a good old boy, he'll tell you, "Boy, I barely graduated from Bible college, but I'm going to do something for God." Started a church. If you drive through West Virginia, I can't remember the interstate, I'll look it up again, you'll cross a bridge. It says Bob Barker Memorial Bridge. That's the testimony he had in his community. Started on the front porch of a fellow on drugs. Wayward family and kids. Brother Barker, of course, they named the bridge after he passed away. His son Nathan is their second pastor. And all started because somebody cared enough to knock on the door, look past what someone looked like, and saw a soul that needed Jesus. And the rest is history. His son Nathan was our two youngest children's youth pastor. He had went off to Bible college, worked at our home church under Brother Walls, and then later went on. His dad asked him to come and work with him for a period of time. The church asked him to come take the church after he passed away. All started simply by somebody recognizing, just like me, there are other sinners. But I know something that they don't know. I know Christ. And I want to share with them what somebody shared with me. And friends, that's all what it's all about. Looking past the appearance, looking past of what they may be or what we think they may be, and realizing that God could do great things. And was how's the ditty go? Little as much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a soul and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. Let's be about praying for these families that come and visit our church. Praying for those in the community that we see on occasion. Praying for the waitress that waits on us. Just praying for as many people as you can as you meet and get to know that God would work in their heart. They would recognize and see their sinful condition, and they would come to know Christ as a personal Savior. And just maybe, if the Lord tarries, He might allow us to be the one to bring them to the Savior. Who knows if another Bob Barker or another Nathan Barker lives right here in our community that might just walk through those back doors. Let's be busy about our Savior's business. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your goodness to us, your blessings upon us. Thank you for the joy of service and the joy of fellowship. Lord, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you for being in a church and a family where I heard the gospel presented over and over and over each and every week, till I came to an age and a point of understanding and also realized my sinful condition and trusted Christ as my Savior. Father, help Harvest always be a place where souls are saved. Lord, my desire, my hope, and my prayer, if you return, that Harvest will become known as a place where people go to get changed, to meet the Lord and their life changes. A place that loves people, a place that cares about people, a place that grows and mentors people. And Father, help us to be busy about your business so that reputation can be developed and known within our community. Now, Father, bless us as we dismiss. Help us, Lord, as we fellowship together to love one another, as we spoke about tonight. And Lord, may that love within us and within our congregation spill over into our community and places that we work and live and shop. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. All right, as always, the Lord loves you, His preacher loves you. If I can be helped you in any way, please do not hesitate to ask. God bless you. You're dismissed.